You're listening to Girls Gone Wad. This is Joy.
And this is Claire.
And you're listening to episode 26. That's which crazy, almost which didn't happen.
Almost didn't happen. But like that's 26 is exactly 6 months. We're exactly one half of the way through our first year of podcasting.
That's exciting.
That's totally crazy.
I'm so proud of us.
I know, right?
Remember when it was just a twinkle in our eye?
A twinkle in a text message.
Which really was. That's exactly how it happened.
Yeah. Have we told this story about how one day Joy just texted me and was like, hey, what podcast do you listen to? And I was like, none. Why? And I thought that she was going to like recommend a podcast to me. And she was like, We should start a podcast. I was like, oh.
And you're like, and then you immediately were like, let's do it.
Let's do it.
And then it just turned into
And then
this...
we spent a month trying to figure out how to record a podcast and found out that GarageBand has a podcast button.
And yeah, it's pretty much just push a button and then it creates a podcast for you, which...
So if anyone ever wants to start a podcast, FYI, it's really easy.
We joked that we made everything 10 times as hard than it needed to be.
Yeah, and
we
you guys are like, probably going to be so shocked that either of us would ever do something like that.
Right, never. Never overthink. Never make it dramatic.
Never make anything harder than it needs to be.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So here we are. 6 months later. I was supposed to fly out this morning to Oklahoma City, and our flight got canceled.
This is a bonus episode, and you don't even know it.
You don't even know. We were just going to leave you high and dry for the Christmas holiday.
We were.
Probably when you need it the most, when you're sitting around with your family and going crazy.
Yeah, we were just going to abandon you. But don't worry.
Don't worry.
Fate has not allowed us to abandon you. Joy is here.
Fate has stepped in, and we are here recording, and you'll have your podcast for the week of Christmas.
Yay. Dang it. Drink. I gotta cut back on the yay.
Everybody drink.
What was that thing that somebody else said? They said, whenever I say awesome.
That's awesome. Awesome.
And crazy, I say crazy.
Like, yeah, that's awesome. You all say, that's awesome.
That's awesome. You're right, I do. That's okay. You know, what are you gonna do? Oh my gosh. Okay, in recent news, I have to tell you, I have a new girl crush. Not instead of Christmas Abbott, which by the way, those shirts, I know you texted me, you said they were out of stock. I was so pissed. They sold in 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I didn't get one. And I'm
I should
so
have
sad.
Put Scott Parrish on it because Seriously. He would have had 10 of them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, and I even got on and they were still in stock. And I was like, and I had to go to, it was like literally the one time in my life at this job that I've ever had a lunch meeting.
Yeah.
And I had to go to it and I was like, I'll just get it when I get back. And by the time I got back, they were sold out. So in case you guys don't know what I'm talking about, Christmas Abbott released like a couple of tank tops on Reebok this week. And they're so cute. One of them is this big cupcake and it has like a little kettlebell in the cupcake
frosting.
On top
frosting. Of the cupcake.
So cute.
Yeah, like
instead
like
of like
cherry.
A little cherry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So cute. And I didn't buy them and I don't get to be Christmas's number one fan. At least in my apparel.
Yeah. Christmas, if you're listening.
Yeah. Please send me a shirt. Really it's her birthday today.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
I just seen Joy's face. She like realized what she was saying halfway through saying it. That was amazing. You just looked so surprised.
I was like, Christmas and happy birthday just don't go together. So
oh my gosh. That was amazing.
The only thing that goes with Christmas is Mary.
Wow. Yeah, but it's Saturday, it's 21st, it's Christmas Abbott's birthday. That's fine. But anyway, my other girl crush, who I just found out about, is Diane Fu.
Okay.
Do you know who this is?
I do not.
She, you know that poster at J that we have on like the south wall of that, of like all the different weightlifting positions?
Yes,
That's
yes.
her.
Oh, cool.
She's
okay.
like, sorry.
Which I love that poster.
Knows, right?
Yeah.
So she is like a crazy, she's a weightlifting coach in San Francisco. She started out doing CrossFit. And then decided, like, to take a couple of months off just to focus on weightlifting and never went back. And that was, like, 6 years ago.
Wow.
So she became this weightlifting coach, and she owns or she runs, like, a barbell, you know, like, a weightlifting club that's within a CrossFit gym, which I think is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just a badass, basically.
Yeah.
And she was on Barbell Shrugged. Like, a couple of weeks ago, and I watched her, like, you know, they do all their episodes on YouTube, too.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, sorry, that was a gross sniff. And they,
I know. I'm a little, my nose is a little, I just got back from a run, so I'm a little
Oh, I had a facial runny. This morning, and the lady was, like, squeezing my nose.
Yeah.
And it felt good, like, but it was, like, she was, like, milking the sign. And I, ew, that was gross.
Milking the
sign. Anyway, so they had her on the podcast, and she was just cool. Like, the way that she described, like, she talked about weightlifting, I was, like, that's how I feel about weightlifting. Where she was like that, first of all, she made an interesting point, or somebody made an interesting point it wasn't her. It was another guy on the podcast that said, like, nobody, like, so a lot of people start CrossFit and then just go to weightlifting. Like, they find weightlifting through CrossFit and then decide to specialize in weightlifting.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really happen with anything else. Like, nobody, like, finds gymnastics through CrossFit and decide to become a gymnast.
That's true.
Nobody, like, finds, you know, running through CrossFit and decides just to be a runner.
Right.
But I think that is true about weightlifting, that a lot of people find weightlifting through CrossFit and then just decide to just be a weightlifter.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was still talking about, like, doing WADs and how, like, that, you know, like, a lot of, especially, like, American weightlifters, the mentality has been, like, if you want to have a good clean and jerk and snatch, you have to do a lot of clean and jerk and snatching. But then, meanwhile, like, the Chinese weightlifters who are winning all the medals are doing handstand push-ups, are doing, you know, bicep curls and that kind of stuff on their kind of, like, off days.
Mm-hmm.
To – and I also actually read something about this. So who the heck wrote about it? I don't remember when the American – USA Weightlifting American Open just happened. And there were a lot of CrossFitters – who qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. And they were saying that you could tell, especially the women who CrossFitted, because they had really, not big, but they had much more muscular upper bodies than just like the pure weightlifters. And even though their form wasn't necessarily as good, they could save lifts that the just weightlifting girls otherwise wouldn't be able to, but just because their upper body was that much stronger that they could, like, kind of catch the lift and, like, you know, save it.
Right.
Anyway, all that to say that Diane Fu is a badass, and now my new life goal is to go to...
So where is she?
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh, which...
Let's go there and train with
her. Even better.
Right.
I love San Fran.
Mm-hmm. I could go to Levi's store while I was there.
Oh.
I
was just thinking I need a new pair of Levi's.
Christmas. Ask Santa.
How was the snatch clinic?
You know, it was fun.
Yeah.
So last Sunday we had a snatch clinic at Jay, and there were like maybe 12 or 13 of us. And what we did was we started out TJ. So TJ, you know, used to be a Spanish teacher, high school Spanish teacher. And then his teaching ways totally came out, which is awesome.
It's so funny to watch him because he really is a teacher.
But he like had like his PowerPoint and he projected onto the whiteboard. And
you know, the South, what's that noise?
I think somebody just rang your doorbell.
Oh, it is my doorbell.
Do you need to go get
the
door? No,
it's probably like a UPS delivery. No. It just, we're in like a back room and the doorbell's right against the wall. So like it sounded like someone was pounding on the wall.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, the South Park character, the teacher that goes, okay.
Yeah. He's based off of a professor that I had at CU.
No.
Yeah. He's like legit, that person exists and he is the lab. He like teaches biology labs at CU.
I don't know why that's so funny. Because
yeah.
I'm like, there's been so many times during this podcast where I say something and you're like, yeah, like my dad invented celestial seasonings, where I like don't expect you to say that.
My father, the inventor of toaster strudel.
I don't think my father, the inventor of toaster strudels, would be very happy to hear about this. I laugh because TJ also does that. He'll go, okay.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that guy exists.
TJ, in case you didn't know you do that, you totally do that.
You do that. but yeah, so anyway, so he like started off with like,
literally, wait, did you already have that? Did you ever have him?
Yeah.
You did?
He was the professor that, like, ran the undergrad labs, like, lab program at CU.
Yeah.
So, like, whenever you had a biology lab, you would, he would be, like, he was, like, the lab director. So, like, TAs actually taught the lab, but he would, like, you know, come around to all the different labs.
Right.
And, like, he would, like, proctor the tests.
Yeah.
And, like, he, like, at the beginning would, like, give at the beginning of each semester, give, like, a presentation about the lab.
Yeah. And he really talked like that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
His neck wasn't quite as wrinkly, though, as the guy in the South Park episodes. Gross.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, he exists. Anyway, so he started with, like, maybe 45 minutes, maybe, like, 40 minutes of going through, like, in detail, you know, each different pull of the snatch and, like, the things you want to look at and the variations that can occur and, you know, that based on your body mechanics and based on what parts of your body are stronger and weaker. Like, there are, you know, there is an ideal way to do it, but then there also are common variations that people, you know, like, sometimes if you have really long arms, it's actually can be okay to pull a little early to get into your power position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to still kind of, like, be bent down a little bit. Otherwise, if your arms are so long, your power position ends up being, like, you know, halfway up your, like, at mid-thigh.
Right.
Or, like, if you, I don't know, just, like, a couple different things like that. Like, it can, like, times when it's okay to poll earlier, times when it's okay to, you know, kind of stand your butt up a little bit first or that kind of thing, just based on your own body. And so then we went over that, and he, like, showed a bunch of videos and whatever, and then we went and got into groups of...
It was 2 hours?
It was 2.5 hours.
Okay.
And then we went got into groups of three and did a bunch of snatch drills that we don't usually do. Like, we did this one that I really liked where you, like, got the bar up, like, with your scarecrow elbows, you know, like, high elbows, and then you just dropped, like, did a quick flip over your head and just dropped into the bar. So it was almost like a snatch balance, except starting from high elbows instead of starting from your back. So you didn't really dip. You just went high elbows, like, straight down.
Okay.
And it's really, like, just to, like, practice that fast punch.
So from scarecrow to high arm. From scarecrow.
Into the snatch.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of to practice that punch, which was really fun.
Oh, I like that.
And my triceps were really sore the next day from that. But,
I always fear hitting my face.
Yeah. I'm a little worried about that, too.
Yeah.
But if you, like, are in triple extension, you're next kind of back. But, and then worked a bunch of different drills, you know, did snatch balances, did hang snatch, that kind of stuff. And then he said, you know, work up to a heavy single where you can still make the lift, but, like, the wheels are starting to come off.
Mm-hmm.
And he videoed each of us at that weight. So, like, for me, my max is 80. So for me, it was 75.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, I can make it, you know, somewhat consistently, but it's not pretty every time.
Uh-huh.
And then we all got back together and watched everyone's, like, wheels fall off attempt.
I think that would be helpful, for sure.
You know, I think there were some things about it that I liked and some things that I didn't. And because, like, for example, I was one of the first people to go. And the problems that I have, and I don't know if this is just, like, my body mechanics or because I work on the snatch a lot. The problems that I have were not problems that, I don't know. It was, like, the things that I needed to tweak were, like, kind of just, like, a little more tweaky as opposed to, like, this is a big, you know, because, like, or I guess really, not that I don't have big problems, but I'm already aware of those problems.
Right.
And so the things that he was pointing out to me were kind of more minor because it's like you already know that you have this other problem.
Right.
But you also could think about this. Whereas for a lot of people, that was one of the first times they had really, like, critically really looked at the snatch.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them, like, it was news to them that they, you know, shot their butt up, or it was news to them that they pulled early. Whereas, like, for me, I know that I do that stuff already.
Yeah.
And so, personally, by the time we got to the end of everybody, I kind of forgot what I was supposed to work on.
Like the little tweaky things?
Right.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of... But I do think that it was really helpful from, like, I guess from kind of from a coaching standpoint to be able to look at it and say, like, okay, here are the problems that a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pulling early or shooting their butt up or, you know, bouncing the bar away from them instead of pulling it up with their elbows.
Right.
But yeah. Do you know that new girl, Jerrica? She only comes in 8. She puts your shoulders to shame.
Oh my gosh, I have to meet her.
She is mad. She, like, power windmill snatched 95. Like, basically just, like, started from the ground and just, like, scooped down. She's like, do. I don't know what her background is. She definitely has an athletic background, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, her mobility isn't great. Like, she can't overhead squat, so she couldn't have, you know, full snatched if she wanted to.
Right.
But I was just like, no, really? Really? You're going to come in here and do that 95 pounds. Lame. But she's really nice. But yeah, you know, like, people come in and you're like, and they're better than you at stuff. And you're like, wait a minute. You're not supposed to be better at me than this.
I've been here
better
longer.
Better than me at this. Yeah. I've been here longer.
Yeah. I totally had that moment. I don't know. It was probably a few months ago because it was still warm out.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an evening WOD with, I don't remember.
Oh, it was that girl. Was it that time? It was that girl who, like, just dropped in. She was that little girl. She was, like, little and she looked like she was, like, who the heck did she look like?
She was just a little blonde chick.
Yeah.
And she was super fast.
She looked like Stacey Tovar a little bit.
I was like, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah, it was it was that hero wad that we did.
It was. I remember it was a hero wad because I remember it was long. There was running. Squat cleans.
Yeah, it was like squat cleans, pull-ups, and 800-meter runs.
Yeah,
I forget what the wad was. But yeah, I remember that because it was a 30-minute time cap.
Didn't we do that together?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I texted you, and I was like, do you do this wad this morning? I'm going in right now. You should come with me.
Okay,
and that girl was there, and she was like warming up doing butterfly pull-ups. Yeah. And everyone was like, No. Not okay.
So it was good. Snatch clinic was good.
Yeah, it definitely was good. I think that, like, if he does it again, I think it would be a little bit more effective maybe to break out into, maybe kind of break it up into, like, slightly larger groups and then kind of look at, you know, it's like you're in a group of five maybe instead of three, and then like the five of you kind of look at the five of your snatches, and then you go back and do it again. Because that was the other thing, is that after we talked about what we needed to change, we didn't then go back and keep snatching because we were out of time.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that would have been helpful if we had the time to be like, okay, now I know that I shot my butt up. I'm going to go back and try it.
And try it again.
Yeah, so that would have been. But
I think watching videos is super helpful.
It is super helpful.
Even just YouTube, certain lifts. Yeah. I think CrossFit posted a video of Lindsay Valenzuela recently. It was just like a 30-second commercial. Mm-hmm. And I think she just did a squat clean.
Yeah.
And just watching her form was like, oh my gosh, look how different that looks, you know? So even just, now I know why TJ is always watching videos.
Well, and he even said that. He was like, you know, he said that. He was like, he was talking about how he kind of is self-coached, and he was like, you know, it's frustrating for me in some senses, but in the other sense, like, I've just learned that the best way to teach yourself about the lift is to look at like hook grip, you know, where they have like the sequential shots.
Yep.
To watch, you know, video, lots of videos, lots of slow-mo videos, lots of different lifters lifting, you know, doing the same lift, so you can like see what the variations are, you know, kind of try out things that work for you. Oh, another really interesting thing that Diane Fu talked about in her Barbell Shrugged interview was, she said that a lot of times when she's coaching an athlete, she will, you know, as long as they're doing the lift safely, she won't give them any coaching points until they are proficient enough with the lift where she can tell that it's fluid and they're no longer being like, okay, step one, step two, pull, elbows, you know, like once they kind of like get it, that's when she'll start helping them with their form, you know, like obviously as long as they're doing the lift safely.
Yeah.
And she was like, because, you know, if you give, like,
it's like, almost like too much to think about.
Right. It's totally too much to think about. Yeah. And also one thing that she said that I really liked was that, like, you know, she said, if I see someone come in who does something I've never seen before, I'm not going to walk over to them and say, you're doing this wrong. I'm going to watch them do it. And first thing I'm going to see is like, is this a habit or was it just that one time? And second, I'm going to see, you know, why did you develop this habit? Is it serving you? You know, maybe this is a variation that I can.
I really like that approach because really it's such a perfect science.
Yeah.
Lifting and doing lifts in a proper manner and doing the techniques correctly, that the stars have to align when you get a good lift together. So it takes so many times of doing it that sometimes it is just a fluke thing where you let the bar go too far in front of you and not close to your body or whatever.
And you can feel it. Like you finish the lift and you're like, oh, that wasn't good.
Yeah. So instead of, I know the difference of actually knowing that you did it versus it's a habit that you're like, oh, I need to change this. So I think I like that. I like that she said
that. And I also like that she said, you know, I'll watch them and try to see like, is that habit, even if it's something I've never seen before, is it serving them? Mm-hmm. And if so, like, what is it about their physiology or about their, you know, anatomy or what's it called? Their like flexibility or something that's causing them to do that.
Right.
And could I adapt that for my other inflexible athletes or you know, whatever?
Yeah, because I have talked about the right foot that always pops out for me. Like
you know, a lot of people have that problem at the snatch clinic. Lindsay had that problem. Linnea and Beth Tomsic.
Yeah.
They all, it's like
my,
the same
when I go down in a squat, my right foot angles out to the right. So it just, you know how you want to be like as parallel as you can. Yeah. My right foot just goes, and it goes to the right. And it turns out because for whatever reason, my hips are tight or whatever. And I talked to my chiropractor about that. And she just said, that's just how your hips are. Like, let your feet go out. And she was actually kind of mad that she's like, don't let them coach you to do it too parallel because that could be really a bit harmful on your hips. I'm like, okay. But, you know, at the same time, like, I can tell difference too when I really warm up and I get my hips flexible and I really work on pushing my knees out. But at the same time, some of it, like, how much of it is just, this is just how my body is. And also my legs are longer, so I can't, it just feels awkward.
Yeah.
And if I pull my right foot in, it almost hurts. So it's kind of like, how much do you have to change or can you safely keep it?
Specifically to the like hip alignment, you also have to wonder, are those guidelines mostly for men, not taking into account, you know, if you're a female and you have wider hips and your hip, you know, maybe your hips are kind of twist, not, you know, kind of what's the word I'm looking for, like rotated out a little bit. It's like one of the things, you know, there's like that whole conversation about the thigh gap, but one of the things about, you know, this elusive thigh gap is that it actually is anatomical. Like, you could be overweight, and if your pelvis is wide enough and your femurs start further apart, your thighs aren't going to touch.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be, you know, 100 pounds and have your thighs touch just because your pelvis is more narrow.
Exactly.
And there's just, but like, just to say, including in weightlifting, like, there are so many variations, it's hard to say, like, no, you have to do this or you're wrong.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, yeah.
Good to know.
It was interesting. And I think it's just, like, been interesting in the last couple of months to learn more about weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was doing that Catalyst program, obviously.
Right.
Stopped doing it after I had to take a bunch of weeks off. And I kind of decided that, especially after the Snatch Clinic, I think I talked about this a little bit 2 weeks ago, with where I was like in the gym working out, working on snatches, and was doing like 65 pounds, no problem, got up to 70 and just couldn't make the lift.
Right.
And realized it was because I had just not been lifting heavy enough.
Uh-huh.
And so I just hadn't practiced that mental space. Uh-huh. And so I realized that like the thing that I'm missing at this point is not, like, I'm not missing lifts because I'm not strong enough. I'm missing them because I'm not practiced enough and I'm not fast enough and I don't have that mental space. And, you know, TJ always says it's like just time on the bar. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you just need to drill that. You need to like spend, you know, you need to get your 10,000 hours in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that going in kind of to the new year, and we'll talk about New Year's resolutions on the next episode.
Next episode.
But I think I'm going to focus more on like those kinds of drills rather than, you know, like working on my strength, because my strength will improve as my lifts improve.
Right.
But until I'm missing lifts because I'm not strong enough, as opposed to missing them because my technique is bad,
right,
then I don't think that I need to be focusing on getting stronger if my goal is to improve those lifts.
Right.
So we'll see. But yeah.
Amen to that.
Weightlifting. There you have it. Speaking of weightlifting, have you gotten your weightlifting shoes yet? We're going to check in about you with us every week.
I haven't, and I have no other excuse than I have not had any time to leave the house, really.
You know why you need to do that? So we can have our shoe bedazzling party.
Yeah.
So if you're in the Denver area, we have this idea.
Yeah.
And even if you just want to come to the Denver area.
Even if you want to come to the Denver area and have a visit and come see us. We have
an idea, which is that you bring in your CrossFit shoes, whether they're your lifters or your nanos or whatever, and we are going to have a shoe bedazzling party.
Yeah.
No glitter, because glitter gets everywhere and your coach would hate us.
Yeah.
But like bedazzled jewels and sequins, yeah, and glitter paint and sparkly shoelaces.
What was the name of the chick that does this?
Bling My Wad.
Bling My Wad.
But here's the thing is that it looks like she was like super gung-ho about it for like a week and then hasn't posted anything on Facebook since like October.
Right, right.
So we're going to bring it to the streets.
We're going to bring it to the streets.
So fun.
Yeah.
I want sparkly.
I really would like to get some soon. And that's probably what I'm going to focus on when I have some time off this week.
Yeah.
Is to shop around.
Yeah, totally.
And figure that out.
Yeah. Because
I am definitely needing them.
Yeah. Who was it that posted about how Reebok is coming out with some lifters that look like Chucks?
Mm-hmm. And I actually have a picture of them.
Mm-hmm. I think they're ugly.
They look kind of big and bulky.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to stick with the, what are they, yeah, power lifters? Is that what they're called? The Reebok? Power lifters.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but yeah.
That are really cute, mm-hmm, and pink. So that's probably what I'm going to go with. And a lot of the listeners left comments. Thank you for leaving comments, because that seems to be the popular.
Yeah, of choice.
Popular shoe of choice.
For sure.
So, yeah. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Yay. Dang it. Gotta cut it out with a yay. So you guys are in Oklahoma for Christmas.
Yes.
Oklahoma City.
Yes.
That's where Mr. Scott is from.
Yep, Scott's family. They're all farmers, and we will have a country Christmas.
Yeehaw.
And I'm going to look up CrossFit boxes out there and,
yeah,
see if I can drop in.
Yeah, are you excited to do a drop-in? Have you ever dropped in?
I have. I dropped in Arizona. My cousin actually went to regionals. I don't know if,
really,
I ever talked about this.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
My cousin's a badass. He goes to University of Arizona, and he's been doing CrossFit like,
right,
for five,
since
6 years.
Right, since it was CrossFit.com.
Since before it was, yeah. So, I dropped into his box like 3-4 years ago, but yeah, he went to regionals last year, and,
wow,
he's just a badass. He's awesome. And he's only like 19, 20,
obviously,
of course.
So he can like recover,
yeah,
immediately.
And he's a coach and he does all that great stuff. So Arizona, and then I did, Hawaii, and then, I'm trying to think of the shirts that I have.
I know, right?
I
know we've dropped in at,
oh, in LA, CrossFit LA.
Oh, right.
How could I forget that? Yeah.
We've done, I mean, offshore, obviously, which I talk about all the time.
Yeah.
We didn't. Oh, U.S. CrossFit, which is where a Seal Fit is out of. Mm. And that was, I mean, we did Cindy, like, it was fun. But their facility is awesome.
Yeah.
They have, like, this huge open court. It's right in Encinitas. They have this huge open courtyard. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
We did Invictus, which was really fun.
Oh, cool.
We were there for a team WOD. And it was fun. Although, you know, I just don't think that they're, the more that I go to different gyms, the more I realize that, like, this thing, the way that we cheer, like, you know, like, everyone is very encouraging. But the way that we literally cheer for other people at J is kind of unique.
Really?
Like, not very many other gyms will, like, literally stand around and be, like, you know, really, like, vocal. Like, come on, let's go. You can do this. Pick up right. a bar. And I was doing that. Like, at Invictus, I was doing that. And everyone was kind of like, well, who is this girl?
Why are you cheering for us? We don't have any fun here.
Right. No. Zero fun, sir. No they fun. Were intense. No fun. And the girl who was our coach is this woman named Nicole Hart. She's a tree. Like, a beautiful, bubbly tree.
Yeah.
She's ridiculous. Yeah. She was on the Invictus team. Anyway. We dropped in last year at CrossFit Sanctify in Madison, Wisconsin, and that was pretty fun. It was the day after Christmas, so it was like, and I think I told you about this, I used a wall ball that happened to be leaking a little bit of sand.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. Not only was it the day after Christmas, but it was also wall balls, and it was hitting and it me was sand, leaking sand in my face. And then I did that one at my bachelor party.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that one was really fun.
So I think I'm going to go to CrossFit OKC.
That'll be really fun.
Excuse me.
I've kind of wanted, we should maybe, start dropping into some different gyms in Denver.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really
that's
fun.
That's a really good idea.
I got a facial this morning, and which, by the way, was awesome. And
excuse me.
Bless
sorry.
You. And it was right next door to CrossFit 720.
Okay.
Which is on 21st and Curtis
mm-hmm.
downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, leaving my facial, and I could just hear them blasting music and, like, somebody yelling. I was like, I want to go.
Can I go in?
Can I come in?
Where did you get your facial?
It was a place called Voila. And voila.
I don't know why that
spa.
Makes me laugh.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Voila.
Voila. The lady, the receptionist, you know, I was sitting like in the waiting room waiting, and the receptionist kept answering the phone, and she would say, hello, this is voila. She was like so.
Super excited about it.
And she just was so just overpronounced. Voila.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Anyway, I never had a facial before, but I wanted to get one.
I'm a fan of them. I think they're really relaxing.
It was pretty much like an hour-long face massage. And yeah. then she rubbed my ears.
Yeah. I kind of, I'm going to go out on a limb and think, I think they're better than massages.
Yeah. It was.
I really, really love facials because I feel like there's just something about like massaging just your face yeah. for an hour that's like super relaxing.
And like
relaxing.
Your neck and your, like, your top of your shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when she rubbed my ear.
And then your face is all clean.
Yeah. And then when she rubbed my ears, I was like, why has no one ever done this before? This is amazing.
This is the most amazing.
I'm going to ask Brandon for an ear rub every
yeah.
night.
I do that to JT's little ears, and yeah. he just loves them.
They're so cute. Yeah. They're so soft. But yeah, it was nice. And then I also got my eyelashes tinted, which is why it looks like
oh, I was going to say, makeup you look like on. You have eyeliner on.
Yeah, and it's because it smudges a yeah. little bit when you get mm-hmm. it the first day, which is fine. Yeah. But I love it. Have you ever had your eyelashes tinted?
Uh-uh.
I love it.
I didn't know that you could do it. I know of the eyelash weaving and that crap where you
oh, yeah.
put on false eyelashes that last for like 2 months.
I have pretty thick lashes naturally, and I hate yeah. wearing mascara.
Yeah.
And because since my eyelashes are thick, it just like really clumps.
Yeah, you've talked about that.
And so, yeah, so I get my eyelashes tinted. If you are listening and are on the fence about this, go for it, because it not only is it like the most relaxing experience in the world, because you just close your eyes and like put the stuff on your eyelashes and you just lay there and it's warm. And if you ask, they'll put like the facial mister on
you. So how long does that last?
For me, it lasts like about 6 weeks. It depends, because my eyes are already so dark, it lasts
so
a little bit longer.
So it's a tint, kind of yeah. like a long wear mascara?
It's literally a dye.
Okay.
It's like the same thing as getting like your eyebrows dyed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's just like they put it on, you know, like what they do is they put some Vaseline right under your eye.
Yeah.
And then they take like a little, you know, cotton pad and stick it on under your eyelid. So yeah. it's like right under. And then they just take a Q-tip with the dye on it and they just like paint it on
oh,
your.
Cool.
And your eyes are closed
that.
The whole
I'm
time.
I'm going to try that. I have to wear mascara every day. It's like the one thing I have to wear.
Do you have light eyelashes?
Huh?
Do you have light eyelashes?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I put mascara, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's I don't just, feel like I don't know if they're not, like, super blonde. Light, but I feel like that's if I could like take one step away, that would save me so much time. It would be applying mascara.
Yeah, and it's so nice because then you can like rub
such
your eyes.
Pain.
It doesn't matter.
Yes,
and it really is like when you get it done. Do you wear contacts?
Mm-mm.
So I wear contacts, and so sometimes it, like, a little tiny bit will get in my eye, and it'll sting, like, and I'll have to go home and take out my contact and rinse it out. If you don't wear contacts, though, like, you know, sometimes it stings for a second if it gets in your eye, and but it goes away after a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
It's no worse than getting, you know, a little bit of face wash in your eye or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, super fun. And then, yeah, the facial is awesome.
I'm a fan of facials.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back, I think. Be like, and it was just... Now I feel so clean. And then, like, afterwards I tried to call Brandon, and I was, like, holding the phone away from my face. And I didn't want to put it on.
Your face is breathing.
Yeah.
It literally feels like your face is breathing oxygen, yeah, like, in and out.
And she used this face stuff on me by this company called Sanitas, which is based in Boulder.
Totally love that stuff. The lemon scrub is amazing.
Yeah, she used the papaya mask on me.
I love Sanitas. Wait, Voila is downtown?
Yeah, it's on 21st and Curtis.
Yeah, okay.
Which, by the way, there was the ugly sweater 5K downtown this morning.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I had to, like, circumvent the whole thing. I didn't know it either until I got there, and I was 10 minutes late for my appointment.
Pain.
I know, totally pain. Anyway, so that was my day. And then I've been doing is just covering everything in gold paint.
Yeah.
For this freaking wedding.
Yeah.
My life is just covered in gold paint right now.
Your life is just covered in gold paint.
Yeah. Which is fine. There are much worse things my life could be covered in.
Yeah.
To be honest. Anyway.
So, yeah, it's been a crazy week.
Yeah, you've had a really crazy week. Joy had a really intense
life can
week.
Get pretty serious, you guys. Life can get a little serious. We don't want to bum you out, but I was called to help with the Arapahoe High School Crisis Counseling Center this week. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Day in and day out for 5 days. Feels like 7 days.
So do you want to give a quick recap for people who don't know what you're talking about?
Yeah, so... Hopefully you guys have seen the news and know what happened, but for those of you who are, it's probably maybe a good thing that if you don't watch the news, because sometimes it can be
horrible,
a downer. But there was, unfortunately, a shooter who came into Arapahoe High School last Friday.
Which is just south of Denver, or just like southwest of Denver?
It's just south of Denver.
Okay.
And it's one of the schools in the district that I serve, so they just needed help with as many counselors as possible to come in and do crisis counseling. So people, I mean, the school has 2,000 kids and their families, so, and teachers.
And
so
staff and faculty.
I mean, everyone is just kind of struggling in a big way. And especially right after a tragedy hits, you just need support in place. So,
totally.
Yeah, so they had a counseling center, like a makeshift counseling center set up just south of the school. So we were just pretty much set up in like this big hall, and people would walk in and we'd help them and sit down.
JT would
and JT, yep. And JT would help them. And we had a separate room with JT. So he could kind of spread out and run around. And, really what I had him do with the kids was they would just sit on the ground like what we do.
Right.
I just say, if you're comfortable with this, just sit on the ground and he'll climb in your lap. And that's what he did. And he's climbing their lap and he would just fall asleep.
Aww.
And they would just pet him and cry and just hold him. And that's really all they needed. That's really all they need.
Though.
So it was so cute though, because he's just like passed out. And then, you know, I was talking to one family and we were just kind of processing some stuff. And all of a sudden he just starts snoring. And I'm like, yep, that's my dog. And they're like, oh, it's so cute. And it was really cute, though. The people who requested JT, they already have dogs.
Yeah.
So it was interesting because, you know, people know the value of animals. And
totally. Well, and if you have a dog, I feel like it's easier for you to, like, equate that with, you know, being calm.
For sure.
And being, like, at home.
So almost every family.
It's so familiar.
Yeah. Almost every family that I sat with was like, yeah, we have dogs at home. And
yeah.
But they just really liked, there's something about seeing the dog with the vest and knowing that it's just a comfort.
Right, he's just there for you to literally just, like,
their assistance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really a rough week. Wednesday, the faculty got to go back into the school, and then Thursday, the kids got to go back just to get their stuff.
Yeah.
And so they really needed us in the school helping with the faculty. I mean, I sat with a teacher all day who... The shooting happened right in front of her classroom. Mm. So it was just, she was really having a hard time.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things where, you know, everyone's going to experience this in their own way. And, you know, when tragedy strikes, you never know how.
Totally.
I think the hard part when tragedy strikes and for those of you listening, if you've ever had a car accident or something that's just so unexpected, you can't prepare for how your body's going to react. Mm-hmm. And you can't prepare for what you're going to be thinking. And you can't prepare for, you know, what's going to come your way for anything. So that is the unexpected reactions is also traumatizing. Because you're like, why can't I sleep? Why can't I, you know, sit in silence anymore? Why can't I eat? And like those types of things that are...
And they're just like compounds. Because you
can't prepare for any of that. Right. So... a lot of it was just being there and kind of normalizing their experience and saying this, what you're going through and what you're feeling is completely normal. Cause you know, that's the thing too, is people freak out that they're ruined forever. You know, it's like, this is, you're never going to get over this. You aren't, but you are going to move on from this and you're going to be able to live with this. But,
I read on the radio, they were interviewing somebody from Columbine and like, you know, when that happened and it was a parent.
Yeah.
And anyway, and she said that, you know, they were saying like, what can we as a community say to these people? And she was like, you know, don't ask them ever, are you over it yet? Or you know, anything like that. Because like you never are over it. No. It becomes a part of you.
Yeah.
Like it becomes, you know, she said that finally her mom kept asking her that. And finally she would just say, Mom, that's like you asking me, am I over being short? It's just who I am now.
Yep.
Like, or am I over being, you know?
Yeah. You never get over it. It's, I mean, the loss of a family member, the loss of a friend, the loss of someone really close to you. Even, you're never going to get over it. Yeah, or
just the loss of a community member. Like,
totally. So it was pretty intense just from a clinician standpoint. It was just nothing I ever thought I would ever experience.
Totally.
As a professional, that I would be put in a situation that I'd be having to deal with the aftermath of a school shooting in our community. But when you're in it, you're like, it's go time. And
Well, and for you too, it's like, how do you react? I mean, you have like some kind of guidelines in terms of counseling, but like it still probably is different. Just like it's everybody experiences it differently. You have to counsel everybody differently.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we had faculty. I mean, it was just interesting to, I feel like I was a sponge. I mean, I just kind of witnessed so many different things, but you know, how the staff reacts and how the kids react. And, It was just, I don't know. I was speechless half the week. But I think what it brought up for me too is just the importance of taking care of yourself. So, I mean, this is such a huge tragedy and something that's on a bigger scale, of course, but I wasn't taking care of myself. And that's, you know, as a counselor, they're always urging you, make sure you're taking care of yourself because you're always hearing really difficult things. And,
and if you're not.
If you're not taking care of yourself, that's really going to weigh on you. And my excuse this week is I was like, I don't have time to take care of myself. We're leaving on Saturday for Oklahoma. And, but,
well, and eventually you get to a point where if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else.
You can't. And that was the thing, is you have to know your limits. Like some of my team was very honest and said, I can't go there and I can't be there for you guys this week. I just, I'm going to do my job, my regular job, but I can't work at the crisis center because I don't have that to give right now. And that's, it's actually a very professional, ethical response because
you don't want to be getting there and having breakdown in front of,
And, but just kind of allowing yourself, like the team did a really good job. The people who ran the center did a really good job of debriefing every day and making sure that we brought up anything that was like really bothering us. And, I just made it a point. I remember Wednesday, I usually do the morning WOD, but because we had to be at the school so early every day, I couldn't make it all the way down there in time and I couldn't, do the WOD, the morning WODs. So I did. I made it a point. Like I scheduled myself to do the Wednesday night,
which ended up being Helen anyway, which is your fave.
I loved it, and it was really, really great because that was an especially hard day to make sure that I went there and I just kind of zoned out. And Kate was there, and we both kind of shared that feeling of like being able to go to your gym and be around your friends and family.
Yeah,
I say family as like your gym is your family, and to just focus on the movements. Like there was something very zen for me that night that I was like, I just want to focus on
just like bringing it back to
pull-ups
right
and stretching.
That's kind of what I love about CrossFit. And
Coach
I think
Matt
that,
was there and he was just like
third quarter.
Yeah, it was so funny. Like he just, everything was just very like, I just wanted to focus on the movements. Like there was just, I was in a state of mind where like everything just left my mind and I was just focusing on what we had to do.
And I think like even outside of the scope of like a big tragedy, that's one of the things that we've talked about that we love about CrossFit just in our day-to-day life is like both of us, you know, dealing with anxiety and both and just like crazy, you know, when you get into the gym, you not only are you allowed to kind of let that stuff go, you have to.
Yeah.
Like, you can't bring that all in with you. You can't bring that into your workout. And if you do, and I'm sure, you know, we've both been there, you bring that into your workout and you really suffer.
Yeah.
You have to just, like, not shut it out, because it's not really like a, it's not almost, you know, it's not like an active thing. Like, you weren't, like, actively pushing it away, but it's just, it like, you just let it go.
It was just something where, walking in, I literally felt myself just leave everything at the door. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I talked to you guys a little bit afterwards, and, you know, just because we were talking about it. But, you know, for the most part, Kate and I were just kind of sharing that piece of, I can just come here and be here.
Yeah,
and totally. It just feels good. And we also, you know, you recognize that you had a really difficult day, but also just putting it all in the workout. Yeah. I don't know how else to explain it other than that. And it was just, even during Helen, I kept thinking too of, like, just dedicating my workout to the shooting victim.
Right.
Felt, I don't know, felt like I was doing something. But it also was just the release for me of actually taking time to break away to go to the gym. Because trust me, I have my day job that I have to maintain as well this week. And I was trying to, like 10 minutes before I left for the gym, I was like answering emails and trying to like catch up on my day job.
Right.
While I was like, you know, trying to like rush out the door. I'm like, just turn off the computer and get out the door right now and just go.
Yeah. Give yourself an hour to just like come back to yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, you know, that's been my life for the past week. And
totally crazy.
Things just happen. I think that was just, I don't think it's really hit me yet. A lot of people are like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I don't think it's hit me yet.
I think kind of like so in professional mode.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I was talking to one of my coworkers yesterday and I was talking about some things that happened throughout the day and I just started crying and I'm like, whoa, this is starting to hit me.
Yeah.
This is when it's starting to hit me, when you actually kind of talk about the details of the day and like the things that you witness. And I think what I witnessed too, and what we all witness in tragedy, is the love that comes together afterwards. That you hope that's kind of what speaks in tragedy, is like how much people really come together.
Yeah.
And that's just what really struck me, is the teachers and the students, like just so much love.
Right. And support. And just support. We'll do anything to help.
And I mean, just volunteers dropping off blankets everywhere. And I mean, I don't know how many cookies we had at that school. Tables in the cafeteria just full of cookies for kids when they walked through for the first time. And, you know, that was just really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see.
I remember when they reopened Sandy Hook, like all the decorations they did. I thought, like, I remember that those images being so powerful. Like, you could tell, like, they just had put so much work into making that school, like, back to being.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Well, and it's
pretty cool.
I mean, like, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, too. Like, you don't have, your physical proximity to the event has no bearing on the reaction that you have to it in a lot of cases.
Right. Right.
So it's definitely...
I remember Sandy Hook completely just... I don't know if this is healthy, but when tragedy like this strikes, I tend to just glue myself to the television. I feel like I feel like I need to know every single detail. Somehow involve myself. And whereas I know some of my friends will be like, I don't even turn on the TV. I don't want to know anything.
Yeah.
Which I think is healthy too. And I don't think it bothers me. It's not something where I am like not sleeping at night. But Sandy Hook for me, I was just... Oh... I just remember crying for days, and I just could not stop watching the television. For me, I do know what it is. I feel like I owe it to know. I feel like I owe it to the victims to know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like, that makes sense to me.
If it's taken over their life, you have to, like,
exactly. I feel like, hey, I owe it to you as just this random person in the community to know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I'll honor your story that way or something. So,
yeah.
So it's... You know, Claire and I talked about this before the podcast, of just even mentioning this, but because it is a little bit of a downer, but it is reality. This is just life, and life takes some interesting turns sometimes, and it's not so fun, but this is my job, and this is where it brought me this week, and it was intense.
Yeah, well, and also to say that, like, you know, if this event has impacted you, to know that, you know, we're dealing with it too.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's, like, I know, like, when the theater shooting happened, like, I still, when I go into a theater, I'm like, take a deep breath, like, you know, this is safe.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah. I think and that actually is our district as well, that happened in our within our district. So I don't know, what is it, what's up with 18th, what's up with the 18th judicial district? But I had that same reaction. I don't think I think I saw one. Oh, there's a cat in here. I didn't even, sorry.
Oh, hi, kitty.
Hi, cat.
Didn't even know you were here.
Please don't step on our equipment. I'm going to see if she'll leave.
Surprise.
So I remember when that happened, the first movie that I saw after that happened was, what was the name of the other, totally going to forget it. Anyway, it was an Oscar nominated movie by that woman, that female director that won the Oscar for that.
No
oh
idea.
My gosh. Like that war movie, Zero something.
Zero Dark Thirty.
Zero Dark Thirty. Thank you.
And I never saw it.
The movie before it, she did. Anyway, that was the first movie I saw, and wrong choice. Like, too many loud booms. Yeah. I was just like, why did I do this to myself? I don't think I've seen a movie in a theater since then. Really? So I think we're going to go see Anchorman 2 this week, which will be very, very light. And
you should see.
I feel ya.
Yeah, I think the first movie I saw, you know, was probably some, like, Monsters University or something. But even still, I remember thinking, like, you know, I just, mean, just like, you just go through it. You know, it's like, and it's almost, and I feel like, unfortunately, for a lot of public schools now, you know, it's like you have, you can't ignore that moment of like, you know, I almost feel like you kind of like go, like think back to being like, I remember when this, no one would have ever thought that that could have happened.
No one would have ever thought of that.
Yeah. And now you think about it everywhere you go.
Right. Yeah. Anyway. And I think, I mean, every single parent, I was talking to one of my best friends with her little school age children, and she was like, it affects us so much, and it's hard not to think about it with your own kids of the possibility. She's like, I can't think about it or else I will just not leave the house.
Right.
You know, because the thought of Sandy Hook and something happening to my children. So I think you're right. It affects everyone, and you think of it in your own life of what if that happened to you. And the fact these kids are saying that, they're like, how did this happen at our school?
Yeah.
You know, so that's, I mean, it's, no one is immune to this, to these tragedies. And it's unfortunate. At the same time, we shouldn't live in fear. Like, don't live in fear. Live your life.
Well, and especially with these, like, sort of freak occurrences, like, you know, in a way, like, yeah, there are things that the community can do, like, different infrastructure to put in place that can, you know, help prevention. But, like, at the end of the day, if this stuff's going to happen, there's nothing you personally can do about it.
Yeah.
And to prevent it or to, you know, see it coming.
Yeah. And I think one of the trauma responses for people is to reorganize it in your head of what you could have done.
Right.
And I saw so much of that this week where it's just like, nope, no. This is here. This is done.
Right.
Yeah, but that's a normal trauma response to just be like, let's go back and do the math and then the timing.
Right.
To see if I would have done, like, 5 minutes before it happened, if I would have done, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
if the combination of my locker had worked the first time and I hadn't had to stand there for an extra time and do the lock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
Yeah.
So thank you for letting me share that, because that was, it was a big part of my week. I hope I didn't bring you guys down too much. So let's switch gears a little bit, because let's bring this up for the last few minutes, because I want to ask Claire, since I didn't get to get you your, let's just pretend like Santa was here, and if Santa wanted to get you a Christmas present, like, what would Santa get you?
A wedding planner. No, I have one of those.
A wedding what?
A wedding planner.
I was like, you have a wedding planner.
I have two wedding planners. Just like I have two wedding dresses. No.
I still
have two. Costume? I'm going to sell the other one.
Wait, I was going to say you're not going to do a costume change.
No, they're pretty similar.
Okay. Yeah, they are. Equally fabulous.
They're equally fabulous. But I never, the second one I would have had to get altered. Or the first one, the David's Bridal one.
Yeah.
I would have had, anyway, I didn't. If Santa was going to buy me something for Christmas.
Because the cupcake shirt was Santa's first choice, and Santa was like really pissed off that
Santa's elves slacked on.
Santa's elves were too busy twerking.
Seriously. Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Sandy, thank you for that video.
Oh my gosh.
That jib jab video on our Facebook page. If you haven't seen it, you guys, it is after the week I had, Claire sent me this message and she was like, you've got to watch this jib jab that Sandy sent us. And I had like zero time to check my emails, sat down at my desk and I was like, I'm watching this. And I was laughing so hard. I had to grab the box of tissues on my desk because I was crying. I was laughing so hard. So
I was just like in disbelief. I was like, is this a real thing?
It was unbelievable. And I've always loved jib jab videos. So I'm like, I should have known.
Did you watch both of them? Because they're
two. Yeah. They're both amazing.
So amazing.
Yeah. It was just
so good.
Thank you, Sandy.
That was amazing. I really loved Ryan Gosling in the other one, in the second one. Although Christmas Abbott was in the first one, so.
I didn't see Christmas.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. Okay, I need to go back and look. We should post that one, too.
Yeah, we should post that one, too.
God, so funny.
Let's see. I don't know if Sam was going to get me something. I know. So we're great. Just adorbs. So it's adorbs.
Didn't she put Jennifer in it too? I feel like I saw Jennifer.
Yeah, she totally did. That's so true. Oh my gosh, we have to post that one now.
Jennifer from Wine to Weightlifting.
Yeah, so funny. So funny. I love it. I don't know. You start with Christmas because I can't think of anything. I've just like have been so in wedding mode. I haven't even thinking about Christmas.
Yeah.
What would Santa get you for Christmas? What would CrossFit Santa get you?
CrossFit Santa would definitely bring me the weightlifting shoes, but I think I need to do that. That's an on my own gift. Mm-hmm. I'm really loving that that photo that Sandy posted too of that jewelry.
On
Instagram. Let me pull it up really quick, like, so I can give you guys the different kettlebells
and the charms and mm-hmm. stuff. It's called Unbroken Designs. Is it? Pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay.
They're the same company. I'm pretty sure. Maybe that's not them, but that made those cute little pink kettlebell necklaces that we won at Barbells for Boobs.
Is it? Okay, it's 321 Go Stuff.
Oh, 321 Go Stuff. Sorry. Unbroken Designs, did the kettlebells. Yeah. 321 Go Stuff.
321 Go Stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I haven't really researched the company yet, but it looks like these really awesome charms that they kind of custom engrave. And she ordered a ton of them. She had, let's see, what did she say she put on there? Lift Like a Girl, 321 Go, Stronger Than Yesterday, Honey Badger. So that's, I guess, cute. These are all like cute things. But I'm like, this is adorable. And they're like just little charms.
Yeah,
they're
little charm bracelet.
CrossFit-related charms. It was just, I really like those.
That's super cute.
I like small necklaces. And just like the CrossFit. Oh, the glitter sweatshirt. I didn't get my Button Gear to buy one that day, so I love those. Did you ever get one of those?
No, I didn't get one either. I know, maybe we should buy each other glitter sweatshirts.
Because I love the one, every time I saw that was from, in case you guys didn't see it, it's innerstrengthapparel.com.
It's like inner.
Yeah, I want to say it's like inner dash strength. Just Google inner strength apparel.
Yeah. It's on our Facebook.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page as well. But really their cute shirts designs are unbelievable.
They say like I sweat glitter. Glitter
is my favorite color. And they're really, really cute. And they're like the burnout tanks. So they're the really awesome soft tanks.
They have ones that I hate running.
Yeah, that's the second I saw that. I'm like, if Claire doesn't buy that for herself, I'm.
I really like the one that says, when nothing goes right, go lift.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what, Sienna. Are we going to go to Lulu after this still?
We can.
I think we should.
We'll see what Scott Parrish has on tap for me. If he has any errand, he'll probably want to go with us.
That's fine.
If you're okay with that.
I've never been to Lulu with a guy before, but I'm sure that he
You can. Haven't? Oh, he'll be going around the store picking out things
That's
for you.
That's awesome. Yeah. Personal shopper, Scott.
It's a little annoying sometimes. I don't want to try that on.
No, the Lulu leotard is not coming home with us.
Yeah. He was funny this week. I was telling Claire, I'll tell you guys really, really quick, that he pretty much surprised me with a Patagonia jacket. Asked me all week what jacket I was going to wear. And I'm like, why the heck is he asking me what jacket I'm going to wear? And then today, he asked me what jacket I was going to wear again. I'm like, why the heck is he going to, what is going on? Well, we had seen a Patagonia jacket that I really liked the week before. And it was like really expensive. I wasn't shopping for myself, whatever. So I'm sitting in the kitchen today eating a snack. And I'm like, why does he keep asking me what jacket I'm wearing? And then all of a sudden it hits me. I bet you he bought it and it's in the closet and he's like waiting for me to find it and wear it. And so then I run over to the closet. Sure enough, the Patagonia jacket's in there. And
did
I
you
just
put a bow on it or anything?
Nothing. It was just hidden in.
I think I would have been sad. I love opening presents. I do. I would have been like, oh, but I want to, like, will you wrap it?
I would. I don't want this till it's wrapped.
Right. No, I love opening things.
Oh, that's good to know because I suck at wrapping, but I make a point to wrap your gift.
My dad loves watching you open things so much that my senior year of college, I graduated in December. My birthday was right then.
Mm-hmm.
So he and my mom got me like a graduation slash birthday present and bought me a new laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't expecting anything for Christmas. I show up at his house on Christmas Day and he has this like 2 foot tall box for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is it? I open it up. It's a life-size stuffed penguin. And he was like, I just thought it would be fun for you to have something to open.
That's it.
He was like, you like penguins, don't you? I was like, I mean, I do love penguins. I didn't know that it was, you know, your 22-year-old daughter needed a life-size stuffed penguin. I mean, I still have it. Its name is Melvin.
That's good to know, though.
Yeah, I love opening things.
That's really funny. But I was super surprised. I started immediately just cracking up, and then I like ran over to him and gave him a hug. I'm like, "You are so funny." He's like, "It's been in there since Sunday."
Gosh, Joy.
But it's a puffer jacket. It's black, and we have like a ton of jackets in that closet. So I'm like, there's no way I would have been like looking for it. I thought it was his Patagonia jacket. Oh, it was so funny.
Amazing.
Okay, so now I kind of know what Santa... Well, Santa knows.
Yeah, good job,
Santa's got a good idea.
Santa's got some ideas.
We hope you guys have a lovely Christmas, if Christmas is your holiday.
It's
going to
be the day after Christmas, but then hear this.
Yeah.
Maybe we should release this on Christmas.
We should.
Okay, let's do that.
Christmas gift for you. Yes, Merry Christmas.
The day before Christmas. Or the day of Christmas. The day before a real podcast, though.
That'd be fun. The day before a real... Yeah.
Anyway. That was confusing.
Whatever we want to do, we'll do it.
All right. Well, we will talk to you guys next week.
Have a good week, guys.
Bye.